in your heart that you can build on tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So he demonstrated that another kingdom was in our world through power. And then right before he left, he said, gang, the power that you've seen in me, I'm going to give this power to you. God's power was the evidence that God had come into our world and was beginning to reign. Hey, have you ever thought, well, come on, here, you can preach.
Give her the mic.
Not better than me. If she's anything like her dad, she wants the mic. Can everybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, she's okay. Okay, she's good. It's time for her to have the real party now.
You're interesting and all,
but all but. Yeah, my grandkids think that except when I buy them ice cream. If you're not a grandparent yet, let me give you a word from the Lord. Ice cream is the deal. You are the hero if you always have ice cream. The other day, our granddaughter Eden, she came to our house and I was at work. I was at our ministry office. She goes, she calls me Chief. She said, is Chief coming home? And my wife is Tenny. How the heck did we come up with those names? I didn't have a choice. She said, Tenny, is Chief coming home? Yes. You think we have time for ice cream? Me and Chief and ice cream time? I bet you can talk him into it. Ice cream is the deal, Tyler. Someday you're going to have green. It's all about ice cream. When he came into the world, he demonstrated a present kingdom through his power. And have you ever thought about the prayer he taught us to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, holy and awesome and wonderful is your name. Remember the next line of the prayer. Your kingdom come. And that word come, literally, the way it's written in our Bible is, it means right here, right now, in this place. Not tomorrow and not at some second coming when you come again bodily. Your will be done. And the way it's written means right here, right now, in this place with this people. Listen to the next line of the prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. What is the kingdom? What is this thing? And why is there always power associated in Jesus' life, in the life of his first followers, and should be in this room tonight and in our lives out in the world? The other day, I met Dairy Queen. Forgive me, Lord. Anybody ever eat at Dairy Queen? If you're 62, I do not recommend chili cheese dogs. A girl working behind the counter, she turns to her coworker and she says, after 7 years, she looked 14 years old. And I have this little thought go through my mind. This wasn't this year, just a little while ago. She's been married 7 years and her husband's divorcing her. So I go back to get my chili cheese dog. I need a little bit of encouragement to do anything with that, you know. I didn't hear his voice. It was a stray thought. I look for a ring. There's no ring. I'm thinking, this is crazy. But I'm just going to step into the world of crazy. I said, are you married? She said, yes. My wife was there, so she wasn't freaking out like the old guy was trying to, you know. She looked 15. I said, you've been married 7 years, haven't you? She took a step back and said, how did you know? And I said, and your husband's leaving you. Your marriage is broken and it's over. She begins to weep into my chili cheese dog. Maybe that's why. I said, do you believe in Jesus? She said, I do now. Yeah. Listen to me. Guys, it's the power of a king in our life. This kingdom and our king. What is the kingdom? It simply means this: God has come into our world and he's begun to reign. God has come into our world and his desire is to make the wrong right and the right righter. Is that a word? It is now, isn't it? Tomorrow, Jennifer, everyone needs to use the word rider 3 times before coming to church. Rider. It's the fact that an invisible world is coming into our world, and everything is as it should be in that world. And through Jesus in our lives, everything can be changed in our world too. What is the kingdom? It's men and women discovering that God's presence isn't there, it's here. And cultivating a life where wherever you are, He's with you and you're with Him. What is the kingdom? It's when the words of this book come off the page and you go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I've been living this way. And internally, you're constantly being adjusted and reordered to live like Him instead of live like them. It's the kingdom of God. It's God giving authority to men and to women to step out of their house in the morning and to be salt and light in a broken, sick world. That's the kingdom. It's men and women cultivating faith in such a way that, what does faith do? It's simple. It steps out of this world we live in into His world, grabs a promise, and brings it back into this world to change this world and others around. It's the kingdom. But how can this be real? I started thinking, how can this be real for me and for you? It's simple, because my last little statement of the kingdom is the key to everything. It's the key that unlocks everything. What is the kingdom? It's living life fully in the Holy Spirit here and now. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Alan told me I had to use the Bible. I always try to obey. Listen to what the apostle wrote. He told us what the kingdom was not, and then he described what it was. 14:17 Romans. He said, the kingdom of God, Tyler, is not about eating and drinking. He told us what it's not. What does that mean? It means receiving commandments from God and changing your behavior. He's talking about Old Testament commandments. It's not like that. It's not God telling you what to do, and you just try to change on the outside. That's what, it's not behavior modification through obedience to commands. It's not the kingdom. But then he tells us what it is. But what is the kingdom? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is a whole new inner life that's filled with power. Power within that flows without. It's life in the Holy Spirit. In the next book of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, he says it again. He tells us what it's not and then what it is. He says in chapter 4, verse 20 of 1 Corinthians, he said, the kingdom of God, it's not about words, not even good sermons. And the way this has started, Jeannie, this is not a very good sermon. It's okay. I'm over myself. If you get helped and Jesus is here, we did good. It's not about words, but power. So what is the kingdom? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is the kingdom? A life filled with power. And where's the power come from? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. R.T. Kendall, I know him personally. In fact, we're friends. R.T. says this, great Oxford scholar, tremendous writer. Every time the guy goes to the bathroom, he writes a new book. It makes me, I try to write, and the guy's amazing. R.T. says this about the kingdom. He said, on this side of the heavenly divide, this human side, he said, the kingdom of God is living with the Holy Spirit and learning not to grieve Him or hinder Him in your everyday life. Bill Johnson said this, to the degree you cultivate a deep life with and relationship with the Holy Spirit, you'll experience God's kingdom and His power now in this world. Have you met my friend, the Holy Spirit? When He comes into your life, He comes to bring power. But here's what you need to know. Power doesn't begin in miracles on the outside. It begins in change on the inside. Because if God starts doing miracles through you, but you don't change on the inside, guess who's going to take the credit for the miracles? You are. And you're going to mess it up. Think about that first scripture. The kingdom of God is not obeying commands and trying hard to change. Outward obedience. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The first power I want to mention to you, I call it the power of an exchanged life. It's the power of an exchanged life. His life in me. The Christian life was never supposed to be lived this way. It was never supposed to be lived where I get saved by grace and then I fight real hard to be different and I constantly try and fail, try and fail. How many of you have done the try and fail things a million times? And then you make a new promise to God. How many promises have you broken to the Lord? Are you at a million yet?
Pretty close.
Oh, dude, we are in there. It's not a try and fail. The first thing Jesus told His followers, and all of us are followers, He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because all of the kingdom is now at your fingertips." What is the kingdom? It's power and life by the Holy Spirit. Blessed is the person who finally realizes, "I can't do it. I'm at the end of my self." Because here's the thing I've learned. When you try to live for Him, but from yourself, you always live for yourself. Self can only produce self. But here's the promise of the kingdom. I'll exchange my life for yours. Jesus, who was the substitute in His death for me, so I could be forgiven, He'll also be the substitute in my life. The first power is a new love within. Someone asked me the other day, "Why do you do what you do?" I can't help it. You know, a lot of people serve the Lord because I must serve the Lord. I just got to tell you, I can't stop. Like Jesus when He was 12. They find Him in the temple. He's teaching the high priest and these guys. And Mary starts scolding Him. "Son, where were you?" He goes, "Why did you look around? Didn't you?" And the way it reads in the literal language is, "Didn't you know I cannot stop being in the things of my Father?" It's another life. It's a life of joy. It's a life of righteousness. What is righteousness? Something in you begins to love what He loves. And something in you begins to hate what He hates. Peace, joy. What is peace? It's a soul that no matter whatever's going on out here, inside you're like that high mountain lake. Storms are all around it, but it's like crystal glass. Peace is the absence of anxiety, worry, or fear. It's the exchanged life. That's the first power. The power of God must begin within. But the reality I have within gives me authority on the outside. The second power I want to mention to you, I'm really doing good. I'm halfway through my sermon. And dang, that was 15 minutes. The miracle may happen. Look at me. He has come not to give you the ability first to lay hands on someone and see them healed. He's given you the ability to live a holy other life, to exchange His life for yours. But here's the question. Have you met and do you know how to walk with the Spirit. To the degree you cultivate fellowship and a walk with the Spirit, to the degree He exchanges His life with yours. But the second power is even better. It's the power of ever deepening fellowship with the Lord. The number one thing I have been, gosh, I've traveled 43 days out of the last 52. Next week I go to Poland. Yeah, holy, everybody say holy guacamole Batman. I meet Christians in about 30 nations a year. The number one frustration is I just don't feel close to the Lord. It's the greatest burden in the church's heart worldwide. The second power He offers us through this fellowship is an ever-deepening fellowship with the Father and the Son. Not there, here. 2 Corinthians, again, the Apostle Paul, chapter 13, verse 14, he says this, "And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father," listen to what he says next, "and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be yours." Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle John writes this in the book of 1 John at the beginning. He said, "Everything I've ever written to you is for one reason, that you might have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." You know what that word fellowship? Anybody grow up Methodist? And you use the word koinonia. Remember the old word koinonia? That's the word used. It doesn't mean sitting around the campfire doing s'mores and singing kumbaya. Do you know what the word means? It means to share a life so closely with the Lord, you don't know where you begin and He ends. Why did the Holy Spirit come? What's the kingdom? Tyler, it's learning to walk with Him and dance with Him and talk with Him through your day to where the Father comes from there to here. Do you know there's 22 names for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament? You know what one of them is? He's called the Spirit of your Father. Why? He wants you to know the Father. He wants you to walk through tomorrow with Father present, not Father in heaven. In fact, 2/3 of the entire teaching about walking with the Spirit was done by Jesus the last night, beginning in chapter 14 of John. And at the end of talking about the Spirit coming and filling your hearts and changing your minds, Jesus makes these words, "And when He comes, I and the Father will come and we will make our home with you." Where is heaven? It's here. I don't even pray "our Father who's somewhere out there" anymore. Why? Because there's here. He's called the Spirit of Jesus 10 times. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ. Well, you name it. Do you need to know Jesus? The second great power of cultivating this life, it's the power of an ever-deepening, real relationship with the Father. Here, where you're never alone. My daughter Bethany couldn't sleep. She had so much fear and anxiety when she was young. She was 5. Took 3 or 4 or 5 hours to go to sleep. So I told Kelly, "I'm just going to go lay down with her every night." First night, I laid down with her. We had like 10 5-hour nights trying to fight with her to get to sleep in a row. I laid down with her. She puts her head on Daddy's shoulder. And she says, "Daddy, you tell me a story." I said, "Okay. Once upon a..." Why? Because Daddy was in the room. The other day, I was at Boone and Bethany's house. And they were going to Costa Rica the next day to preach and teach across the nation in our Bible schools, our schools of ministry. And the yard was this high, and there was laundry. It looked like an atomic bomb had gone off. No, it was a nuclear hydrogen, our biggest of our biggest. And the dishes, I did not know it was possible to have that many dishes on the counter. And Boone, her husband, I just wanted to cook out on the grill and hang out with them and the grandkids, you know. I had to take them to the airport at 5 the next morning. And he goes, Bethany, I know your dad's here, but what do I do first? She put her hand on his shoulder. She said, Boone, my dad is in the room. He always takes care of everything. Stop. We went and got meat. We cooked on the grill. When they got home, the yard was mowed. It took me 6 months to do all the dishes. The clothes were folded. What if for the rest of your life you lived with this reality? And everywhere, every room you walked into, you could say, stop. My dad's in the room. It's power. It's power. Right now, our dad is in the room. It's the most beautiful power the Holy Spirit releases. Taking him from there right here. And we have to learn to treat the Holy Spirit as a person. He's not an it. The last night Jesus said these words, and he, when he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but what he hears from me, he will speak to you. He will take that which I say, and he will get, 9 times he calls him, he's a person. Have you met him? And you need to walk through your day listening to him, talking to him, treating him as if. I love what Paul said. Since we live by the power of the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's literally the picture of a dance. That we go through our day arm in arm with God with us, the Holy Spirit. And that's where the power, have you learned to dance the dance? And Jesus said this over and over. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who drinks of the water I give him, that water shall become a well of water, giving him a wholly different kind of life. He said it a second time in John 7. Standing on the temple steps on the great day, of the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles. He said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who drinks of the water I give him, it shall become living water flowing out of him, changing the world. And then John tells us what the water was. This he spoke of the Spirit who was about to come. Have you learned to drink? Each morning I get up between 4 and 6. Today was a good morning. It was about 6. It was not a jet-laggy morning. And I sit with him for an hour. Sometimes, Tyler, I never speak. I just drink. I just drink. I just want to be filled. I just want to sense his touch upon my heart and sense his hand upon my thoughts. But there's one more power. It's the power to do miracles in the world around us. It's the power to be God's healing, encouraging agents. Not long ago at Dairy Queen, a girl who looked 15, who's probably 25, met Jesus Christ. Because a man heard 4 words and had a little stray rabbit run through his thoughts. I think she's been married 7 years, a husband. And I just chased the rabbit and stepped out of the boat. And this power, he said this, the kingdom of God is not about words, but about power. And then Luke recorded these words of Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. Do you know what the word power is? It's dunamis. We get the word dynamite. It means God's energy to change things radically, immediately. We need that in the world around us. And they're called the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not the rewards of being holy. And the word gift comes from the word grace, which means it's free and available to all of us. We have treated these miracles and this stuff Dad and Alan and others talk about as if it's the final reward because you've lived a 40-year holy life. No, it's the birthright of every child of God by grace. It's our birthright. Miracles are our native land. The other day, I'm in the country of Slovakia, and I have this giant Muslim friend. He's a bodybuilder. He weighs 300 pounds. He looks like an army tank. Not an American, but an Israeli. You ever seen an Israeli army tank? They're marked for holy tomatoes. Weighs 150 tons, and it'll go 77 miles an hour. That ought to be illegal. It is. He's a beast. And I have dinner at Ghazi's house the night before. He's Egyptian Muslim. He's in the Egyptian Muslim. He's a Muslim. He's not a half Muslim. And every time we eat together, we argue about Jesus. He's the Son of God. No, my brother, Isa. It's Isa. He's a great prophet. No, he lives in my heart. That's impossible, my brother. So we spend 3 hours having a fun argument. He said, let's pray together. Me and this Muslim, we grab hands, we pray together. He says, hey, are you preaching tomorrow at church? He goes, it's Muslim day at church, yes. We're just friends. He says, can you come back over? I'll cook again tomorrow. No, I'm teaching at the Bible school. He goes, can Muslims come to Bible school? I don't know. Call the Bible school guy. So there's 70 seats. They're 15 minutes late. It's this tiny little room. It's packed. It's hot. It's stinky. And they come in there to the front. Is my time up? Oh, 51 seconds. It's a miracle. 30 minutes, Alan. I'm impressed. You see, when something's real in your heart, you don't have to talk about it a long time. When you know it, when you feel it, when you've tasted the meal, you know how to describe what it tastes like. They come in and they sit on the front row. There's only 2 seats left. He's like, excuse me. The whole thing has to stop to get his body on the front row. And he sits there. He is so goofy. He goes, I teach. Drew Brown and Walter Boston were there with me. They teach. And I'm doing the closing recap and the closing prayer. Everybody stand up. And he just waves at me. And I have this little stop. No one's home. It's my closing story. This is wonderful. I have a little stray thought. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to me like, Randy, now I'm giving you words of knowledge. You know how it comes to me? A little weird thought that runs right, like a rabbit, you know? Or a little feeling in my heart. It's a little, I just have this, say the closing prayer in tongues. And I look at my Egyptian Muslim and I think, this is crazy. This is cray, cray, crazy. And I just tell everybody, listen, if you'll chase the rabbit, you'll live into the supernatural. The supernatural is when you step out of the boat. And it's for everybody. It's not for some spiritual elite. It's our birthright. Give expression to the little impressions. Chase the rabbit and step out of the boat. I lift up my arms and I begin to pray in the spirit, pray in tongues. And I'm thinking, he's going to think this is the craziest thing. And then I heard the Holy Spirit's voice. He's going to interpret this tongue in his own language. And this will be a sign that Jesus Christ is God. I finish. I have my eyes closed because he's standing there, you know. I'm not so brave. He raised up his 2 giant tree trunk arms. He said, I understood every word you spoke. You spoke in one of the most ancient languages of the world, Voronic. It is the ancient language of Egypt. There is no way you know this. And he begins to shake me, screaming these words. It's a sign for God to me. And 70 people in a room realized Jesus Christ had come into the room and he was reaching a Muslim man to faith. Listen, this is our native land. It's our birthright. The other day, I saw a YouTube video of an 18-year-old boy. Jesus heals broken bodies. Do you realize the same blood that he shed for our forgiveness was for our healing? If it's lost its power for healing, it's lost its power to get us to heaven. It's in the covenant of the blood. The other day, a boy, 18-year-old boy, is checking out at a grocery store here in California. And the little lady turns to him, little grandma, and says, oh, I have such a bad headache. She's crumpled over. And he goes, ma'am, can I pray for you? Jesus still does miracles. And she goes, if you want. He prays for her, and 18 people see her straighten up. And the lady stocking over here, who works, she goes, I have a migraine headache. Can he do that? Oh, Jesus is great with headache. 18-year-old boy prays a 5-second prayer. She goes, oh my gosh, the headache's gone. The lady at the checkout stand hands him her microphone. And he goes, at checkout stand number 7, Jesus Christ is here today, and he's healing broken bodies. 20 to 25 people were healed. He preaches the gospel and people get saved. But then he told his pastor what happened. They recorded it on Sunday morning, did like a 5-minute testimony. They put it on YouTube. There have been hundreds of thousands of young people in grocery stores across our nation seeing people get healed at checkout lines. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he also heals broken hearts. The other day I was with a lady, her name's Susan. She is the funniest person I've ever been around, but it's brutal sarcasm. And in her sarcastic wit, my eyes were open. She's sarcastic because she lives with a broken heart. I begin to pray for Susan at my home. And I had this little rabbit, Tyler. Her dad raped her as a girl. Now, do you just walk up to a girl and go, hey, did your dad rape you? So I called her husband. His name's Bill. Hey, Bill, this sounds crazy, but I told him. He goes, oh, my God, it controls every part of my life. She was raped by her dad as a little girl. Bill brought Susan to the house. She shared the story. I led her just to pray a simple prayer of forgiveness. We laid hands on Susan, prayed a 3-minute prayer about God removing the pain of the past, and the past would no longer control her future. Her husband called me 2 weeks later and said, I have a brand new wife. Amen. Why? Because sometimes the miracle is in here. So everybody stand up. Let's pray together. Was this good for you tonight? Yes. But here's my takeaway. To the degree you cultivate fellowship and a walk and learn to dance with God in our world, the Holy Spirit, you're going to experience power. I was about to call you up, Sharon. Good job. See, Sharon's led of the Spirit. Or maybe this isn't her first rodeo. I have purposefully been funny tonight, which only happens twice a year. Why? Because I don't want there to be any hype in the room. We don't need hype. We need the Lord. I wish the kids would have been crawling around and there had been distraction. You know why? Because it would have proven to us it's not the mood and it's not being in church. It's just Christ in our midst through the Spirit. There is power. Power to have a wholly different, I call it the exchange life. It's no longer I who live. there's another one that lives in me. It's the power of ever-deepening communion and fellowship with the Father and the Son, where heaven is no longer there. It's just here. But it's also a life of miracles. Hearing a word and speaking it at Dairy Queen. And a little broken girl knows that Jesus knows her name. It's the Gazis and the boys in the supermarkets. I felt while we were singing tonight that before we pray for miracles, we need to pray for the greatest miracle. I think many of us need to be filled with the Holy Spirit all over again. This is not going to take long. But if you get a touch in your body, but you leave with a soul that's empty. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to live a full life. And I'm just going to pray for like 3 minutes with those who want prayer. It's not going to be some long, because I want to get to praying for the healings of bodies and the healings of hearts. But if you're here tonight and something in you, as I spoke, said, gosh, I want that life more and more. I am not a good altar caller, but we're going to come together and hold hands and pray. If you say, I want to be filled, but even more, I want to learn to live that life that you described, just come here and let's pray together. Come on. Hurry. Hurry. I'm old. I have to go to bed early. Don't say amen when I say I'm. Say you're young. That a girl. Give me five. Come on. Let's get close. Come on, let's just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, fill me afresh.
Lord Jesus, fill me afresh.
Let me show you something. The word to be filled with the Spirit, the most terrible image is taking a cup and pouring water into it. Well, gosh, that's fine.